Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
The book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. We're going to talk about worms. We're going to get there. We need to hurry if we're going to get there. Acts chapter 12. Herod has killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that everybody liked it. There will come a time when they will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. Those days were back then. I believe they're coming around again. Let's be prepared. Have our armor on. Have our minds straight with God. Be of the like mind of Jesus Christ, who suffered. And we might have to suffer as well, and praise the Lord for it. I want you to notice in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It's not just the apostles that pray and God hears them. It's everybody. In my line of work, I will have people, and you know, I'm not downing them or anything like that. Everybody needs somebody to pray for them. But they'll say, hey, you're in with the big guy upstairs. Why don't you pray for me? Well, I will. But you can pray too. Okay? And so anyway, I encourage you to pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But you can pray too. But the church was praying for Peter. They prayed without ceasing. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, God will always save you right in the nick of time. You don't have to worry about it. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, just boom, just dropped. Okay. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. Now I want you to just look. I believe little symbols lay it here, there in the scriptures. Gird thyself, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay. Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment upon thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was having a dream, or that God was kind of visiting him in a vision. And that's kind of what he thought. But he didn't really think it was. You know how it is when you first wake up, and or when something wakes you up out of a very deep sleep. A lot of times, you know, my phone every now and then will ring in the middle of the night. When you first wake up and grab the phone, you have enough in you to say hello, but beyond that, you ain't got it. Okay? You just don't have it. And somebody will say something to me and I'll go, what? I don't have a clue what you just said. So anyway, I was in when I was in college. Well, here I'm wasting time. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, anyway, woke him up. He thought he was in a vision. Verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Now, I want to throw something in here that I just think is absolutely neat and wonderful, and it shows you the literal interpretation. It just shows you that when God says something, he means it, and he means it on all scales and all levels and all fronts of life, and that's just the way it is, okay? Here is Peter, and he's being bound in prison. Prison, the word prison in the Bible, in the King James Bible, is a picture of hell, okay? It's a picture of hell. It's a picture of the pit. Where's the beast right now? He's in the pit. He's in hell. He's in prison, okay? When they stood Jesus and Barabbas on the day that Jesus was to be crucified, When Pilate was going to give them a choice, and that represents the universal choice that all people have right now. Either choose life or choose death. Aren't you glad you chose life? Say amen. So here he is. Here's Jesus, the tree of life. Here is Barabbas, the tree of death. And where did they get Barabbas from? Was he just walking along the street somewhere and they grabbed him? He was in prison. He was in prison, and they went and got him out of prison. And I'm here to tell you that the beast right now, the Antichrist, is in prison, and he's going to be let out of prison, and man is going to be given a choice. Choose wisely. Amen? Choose wisely. But watch this now. Let's say this prison is a picture of hell. Okay? Well, what was it that Jesus said to Peter concerning that? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell will not prevail against thee. Whew. Samson was inside the city, and the Philistines surrounded the city. They was going to have him killed. They didn't like Samson. He was their enemy. Okay? They was going to have Samson killed. So what they did was they circled the city. They closed the iron gates of that city to lock him in there. They thought, we've got him in here. He'll not be able to get out. We just need to figure out how to get to him. So they thought they had him locked in. The Bible says Samson rose up. He had the strength of the Lord on him. And he took those iron gates. He didn't just open them. He removed them. Laid them upon his shoulders and walked up on top of a hill. And I always see that, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the gates of hell did not prevail against him, and yet he carried them up on top of a hill called Golgotha. Somebody say amen. They did not prevail against him. And so here, in literal fashion, the chains have come off. I want you to think about this, the chains of your life that has come off. Amen. The chains of your life that God has broken you free of. And anyway, so verse 10 again, and they were past the first and second ward, and they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own, and just bing. Peter didn't say magic word. He didn't say open sesame or open says me. He didn't pronounce, he didn't claim it in Jesus' name. He didn't do anything like that. God had already said the gates will not prevail against you. They will not be able to hold you in. Man, I love this. So it opened up to his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord High has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. God is in the delivering business. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. Now this kind of get into a kind of a funny story. I always like this story, all right? So anyway, they considered the thing, and he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. That is the writer of the Gospel of Mark. Okay? John Mark is his name. John was his first name. Mark was his surname. Okay? John Mark. And there were many gathered together praying. And who were they praying for? They were praying for Peter. Okay? And verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. For she heard him out there knocking, and he was saying, hey, I'm out here, let me in. And she had heard his voice before. She knew who that was. Instead of opening the door, she was so excited, she went into the house, left him standing out there. Okay? She ran in, verse 14, and told how Peter stood before the gate. Okay, now, to the adults, to the adults sitting in the house, being spiritual, she comes in and annoys them with this foolishness that Peter's outside. Okay, so look in verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel, darling. Okay, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I think it's a funny story. Mama, Peter's out there. Honey, Peter's either dead or in prison. He's not outside, okay? A lot of times little children will believe more than we will. Amen? Okay? You take these kids, we're trying to raise up Charlie and Caleb and some of these, we're trying to raise these kids up, and we see the purity of their belief in their youth. Okay? They just believe. It's not until we grow up we start having some serious doubts. Amen? As a child, whosoever should come unto me as one of these. Okay? So keep having that childlike, simple faith where you just believe. Amen? Verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. Now, I want to talk about Herod just for a little bit this morning. We'll talk about worms, okay? Herod is a very vile, nasty, greedy. He's probably perverted. He is demon-possessed. He, back in verse 1, he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, okay? Hated the church, hated the preachers. I'm telling you, there are people out there. There are some Herods out there right now. Okay? They hate the church. They hate everything about it. Okay? I'm telling you, there's some Herods out there. And, but anyway, he is just vile, corrupt. Okay? He's one of these guys. He's Herod, which he's the king. He's been used to being, had everything his way. He comes from a long line of very wicked Herods. Okay? He's not a good guy. And so here a miracle. He kills James, and he got such a thrill and such a rush out of that he had Peter arrested, and he was going to wait till, we dealt with this last week, he was going to wait till after the pagan feast of Easter to have him killed. He was going to kill him too to see if he could get bumped up in the opinion polls. Sound like politicians now, amen? Okay? And so anyway, he's going to do that. And then upon hearing about the miracle of Peter being escaped out of prison, upon hearing this, because those soldiers are telling, I mean, they're telling the truth. They're telling the king, we were chained to him. He wasn't going anywhere. We weren't drunk. We were on duty. He was chained to us on both sides. And when he stood up, the chains fell off of him. And he walked past two wards full of guards and then got to the iron gate, and it just opened up. And he walked out. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. And upon hearing that, Herod, so vile and so wicked, he doesn't want to believe it because of pride. Okay? It makes him look bad if he recognizes that God saved Peter out of his hands, that he is weak and powerless and cannot do it. I think we need to understand exactly how much of what goes on in this world as far as political realms and things like that, of men and even sometimes women just wanting to show how much power they have. And I don't think anybody here plays games like that with power games with people. But we need to understand that people who are in politics, that's what they do. We want to have this fantasy realm ideology that people in politics are really the servants of the public and they're out for the good of the people. Maybe every now and then we get somebody like that, but by and large you're looking at somebody that likes the influence and the power and everything else that comes along with politics. This is the world we live in. This is our congressman, both state and national. These are the people that are running the show in this world, and they're all about power game. Nancy Pelosi is one of the, okay? And John Boehner, he's just another one with a different name, okay? It's about power and influence and how much power these men can have. And so here is Herod, and it won't look good in the papers if he believes the story that he was powerless to keep Peter in, especially when everybody was really looking forward to the day when Peter was going to be slaughtered in front of everybody at the big circus. And so it doesn't look good for him. And so his official story is, my soldiers were drunk and I had them killed. Okay? Now I want you to look at the pride of Herod's life, because he's loaded with it. Pride will keep you from admitting that you were wrong. How many of you know that? Say amen. Your pride will keep you from admitting that you've made a mistake. It will keep you from admitting that you're wrong. Pride will perpetuate your wrongfulness. It'll keep it going. Pride is the wagon that's holding up and supporting and moving along your other sins. It's pride. Okay? There is no pride at the foot of the cross. There is none. What God has to do in order, and I keep preaching this, and I believe it, because number one, I see it in the Bible. Number two, I see it in my own life. The thing that God has to do with all of us before we'll repent is strip us down bare, make us naked in His sight. First thing Adam and Eve did, okay, when they sinned against God, immediately their eyes were open, and what was it that they saw? They saw that they were naked. Prior to that, that was nothing. But now that they've sinned, they were stripped down bare before God and naked, and that brought a shame to them, and they immediately went to try to cover themselves up. Amen? You can tell the spiritual level of a society by how much they cover themselves in public. Am I telling you the truth? Okay? Some of you are a lot older than me. And remember a time when people, when they went out in public, they dressed themselves up. Okay? You remember those days. Okay? I grew up in the 70s. And in the 70s, they wore short shorts. Okay? In the 80s and so on and so on. Even when you look at, watching basketball. And I kind of like the fact when most basketball players, they got long shorts on. Okay? But back in the 70s, you remember those? And those NBA guys, I'm going, what in the world? Come in. Don't look at that. Okay. By the way, there's two places in the Bible that tell you that covering your thigh covers your nakedness. Okay? Two places in the Bible that tells you that revealing the thigh area and on up is part of nakedness. Okay? I'll just throw that in there. Let me hook the train back up here. Pride will keep your other sins going. There is no pride at the foot of the cross. What God has to do, and He'll do it privately. The Holy Ghost will come to you and strip you down naked and bare so that you are ashamed of what it is that you've done. Okay? You are ashamed of what it is you've done. We have a natural, instinctive reaction built into us that, let's just say that we were in the restroom and we forgot to lock the door, and one of the kids is fixing to walk in. It is an instinctive reaction for us to instantly try to cover ourselves. Am I telling the truth? Okay, I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything like that. I'm just trying to tell you how it works. Okay, and to a normal person that God had, whose conscience is not seared with a hot iron, and there's people out there like that, I'm convinced of it. Okay, they don't have reactions like that. Okay, but to a normal person, what the Holy Ghost will do is deal with you in such a way is that you say, you know what? I don't want to be exposed for who I really am. Who wants that? Who in here wants the thoughts that run through their mind in the course of a day exposed out there on a billboard somewhere? Who wants that? I don't. And you shouldn't either. Amen? So the Holy Ghost comes and he'll lay that conviction on us by stripping us down and stripping us of our pride. That way we'll go to the foot of the cross and say, God, clothe me. Clothe me in righteousness. God, please, don't humiliate me in front of everybody. God, please. I want to tell you something. You call upon the name of the Lord, God will help you. Somebody say amen. Herod, he's way past that. And we're going to see it here in a minute. Okay, so watch this. Verse 20. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made a Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel. You can just imagine it in your mind. He is really decked out. Okay, there are certain clothing, certain colors, okay, that you and I don't wear. Okay, you and I don't wear. We don't wear what the Queen of England would wear when she goes out and has some big deal. Okay, we don't wear those things like that. Okay. He was set in royal apparel, set upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. Does anybody know what that is? He made a speech. Okay. Let's just lay all the other issues aside. Okay. I kind of think America needs a leader that doesn't stand as stiff as a board and read from a monitor everything that he says. Okay. One of the things, and you might disagree with some things he did, but one of the things that made Ronald Reagan great in the minds of most Americans, to the extent that when he ran for re-election in 84, do you remember that? He won every state except for one. Okay? What made him so popular in the minds of Americans was his ability to communicate. He was called the great communicator. That goes back to probably his natural abilities, which led him to be an actor. He was trained. He knew how to do it. But that guy knew how to make a speech. That guy knew how to, when he spoke, your heart just melted inside of you when he spoke. That, I tell you, I think America needs a leader like that. If he's on the wrong side, then he will lead America to the wrong side. You follow me? Okay. And Herod is on the wrong side. Okay? We would be in really bad shape in this country if the president we have now was a better speechmaker. We would be in bad shape. Okay? So anyway, Herod comes out and he makes this great oration to them. The ability of his voice, I was teasing you a while ago. Okay? This Ted Williams guy, this homeless guy, goes out, holds up signs. When you're looking for the best of oldies, turn to Magic 105. I can do that. Okay? I should be, I won't say I should be in rehab now because that's where the guy is, okay? But anyway, and that was his drawing card. That's what got people to pull over and hand him money. Was when he had a gimmick. When he walked up to their window, people rode down the window, he would give the little radio deal, and people were going, wow, this guy's cool. Here's $5. He made a lot of money that way, okay? And probably will. But Herod had the ability, he had the voice inflections, he was doing everything right, and we hear those things, and we go, oh, that is so amazing. We are vain in that way. Which is one of the reasons why a lot of false preachers out there are gaining the ground that they're gaining. Because they have the ability to say in a certain way, to emphasize their speech with inflections or movements or whatever gimmick or things like that. I could do it. But God has taken that desire for me to use that to preach the gospel. Because Paul said, not with words of man's wisdom. Paul was not the great speechmaker and the great orator. God crippled him that way. I believe that. Moses had a speech impediment. And yet these men were the mouthpieces of God. God was using them, because it's God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. So here's Herod out there with his great radio voice, and he's communicating to the people. And the people, verse 22, the people gave a shout. That is an interesting word in the Bible. I want you to get this, okay? Because I see prophecies. Are you with me, Waynesy? One of the things that we're waiting to, the shouting. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You see, right here is Herod, and they say in verse 22 that this is the voice of a God. He is the mouthpiece of a God, not the, but a. Okay? And he's leading all these people astray. And the people are giving a shout. And I don't know exactly the perfect timing, but I think there's going to come an event in this world that is going to fulfill the scriptures concerning the shouting, the taking up of God's people, the revealing of the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. I think all of these things are all around the same time. And I think this is giving us clues as to what to look for. I have it in my mind sometime this year to really work and put together a thing about the identity marks of the Antichrist. Because I think to most people, they really think, Jim, that they're going to be worshiping Jesus, and they're not. Okay? They really think they are. Who in here, when Brady and Bradley first started coming to this church, who in here had a hard time figuring out who they were? Jimmy? Okay. When I first met them, when they were 16, okay, the younger they are, the harder it is. The older they get, there's little differences that show up in them. Okay, but when I first met them, and they both came to my car, I'm going, "Hey, you," and I don't know who's who. Yeah. They knew, and even then, there were subtle differences between them. Subtle is the key word here. And so I believe at some point, the real Jesus and the fake one are going to be presented to the world. And the world is being trained and positioned and given subtlety and everything else. And they're going to look upon the fake one and say, he's our Lord. But he won't match the Jesus that's described accurately in this book. And so think about it. Think about why they would change the Bible, Gary. Because they are changing the description of Christ in these new Bibles. You're changing his appearance. So that when people get ready to pick, they've been trained to pick the wrong one. See how it works? Listen, go home, tell God thank you that you've got the right one. The people gave shout, verse 22. Said number 22 is the number for Revelation, okay? The people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." They had exalted Herod. Now he's Saint Herod. Do you hear what they're going to do with Pope John Paul II? They're going to beatify him. The Holy Catholic Church is going to beatify him, which is the next step to sainthood. Which means that when you become a saint, that means that people can pray to you because you're a God now. You have your own day, and people will pray to you, even though you're dead. They'll pray to you and think that you are answering their prayers. And this always irritates me. When the snow comes down and they do all the school cancellations on the news. Okay, when they get to the S's, you might as well just go get you some coffee and make a few eggs, because they're going to be saint, 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 saint. They're going to give you 30 Catholic schools, all starting with Saint. They're named in honor of a god. Saint Andrew, Saint Philip, Saint Thomas, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint this, Saint that. These are all gods of the Roman Catholic Church that you pray to. That's who they are. Okay, so anyway, it's the voice of a god. I'm not going to get to the worms, but I really wanted to get to the worms today. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the God the glory. Why don't you think about that one for a minute? Okay, I want you to think about that one. And you ought to be real careful next time you put a bite of food to eat in your mouth. Seriously. My mom always told me, you'll choke. You better pray, you'll choke. You know what? That's true. You better make sure that when you eat, drink, sleep, wake up, turn the furnace up, write out a check for your electric bill, that you give God the glory and the praise and the honor for what has happened to you in your life. You better tell God thank you. Somebody say amen. Why? He gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, I want to deal with those. I want to show you that that was a partial fulfillment of prophecy. Okay? You go study worms in the Bible. Okay? And literally, he was standing there giving the speech, and literally, worms right in front of everybody began to consume his body, right in front of everybody. It was a prophecy. God said it was going to happen. It was a sign to Israel. It was a sign to them. And remember, that which was is that which shall be. Be careful. How many of you think worms can eat up your bank account? Just like that. Okay? Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this wonderful day you've given us. And Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for letting us come into your house and to hear the word, Father, at your feet. And Father, forgive me, Lord, if I've tried to use my personality and the talents and the gifts that you have given me. God, forgive me if I've used those, dear God, instead of relying upon your Holy Spirit and upon this Bible. And Father, Lord, help the people, dear God, that hear my voice, know and understand, or Father, help them to find the source of the gifts that you've given me. And that is Jesus Christ in this Bible. Lord, I don't want followers. I don't want followers. I want people to be followers of you. I want to be part of that group. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would bless the teaching and the preaching of your word. And Father, Lord, bless our church service and bless our ministries, God, and help us, Lord, and use us for your kingdom in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, you just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.